It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we are referencing, you just referenced Kirk Morrison. He was on the morning show. If you're new to, if you just jumped on, getting off work, whatever it is, let's play it for you. It's almost a minute long. Stay for the last 10 seconds. That's what really got people discussing things.
At the end of the day, we've also seen a larger sample size, right? Especially with Matthew Stafford. He's larger sample size. I think Dak Prescott, same thing, larger sample size. But when it comes to Brock Purdy, we're still thinking about it. And then you still got buyer's remorse. I mean, I really feel like, you know, Brandon Ayuk walked in there, robbed the 49ers with no mask on, and now you're stuck with a contract of like, man, is this going to be the player or not? I think that's also something that's in the back of the mind of a lot of people as well, is, okay, you've got the weapons now. It's not like Brock Purdy doesn't have the weapons. He's got them. Can he make this team go? And that's all it is. Week in and week out, you got one of the best defenses in the league. I think we want to see more statistically. We want to see more where the 49ers won because of Brock Purdy, not despite Brock Purdy, if that makes sense.
I mean, first of all, no, I don't want to see more statistically. Second of all, I don't know what stats you're missing. 4,280 yards last year, 31 touchdowns, 11 picks, fifth in the MVP, and number one rated quarterback in the league. So apparently it's not those stats you're looking for. I don't need any other stats, but the other comment is even worse. I would just tell Kirk, and I swear I'd say this to him if he's sitting right here. I love Kirk also. Kirk, if you don't think the Niners are winning because of Brock Purdy, you need to have a conversation with Fred Warner, and I would hope that you respect him. Fred can't stop talking about how Brock Purdy is the reason that they've got a chance every year. And, of course, he's right. I love what Jay Gruden said yesterday about, like, I mean, this conversation we consistently have here in the Bay Area about, like, who's the most important player on the team. He said, well, the quarterback is a completely different animal.
Exactly.
Of course it's quarterback.
It's always the quarterback.
It's always, always, always the quarterback, and then everybody else.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you look at it from just, if you took the names off of the resumes, I'm looking at a guy who went 21-6 his first 2 years with 7,800 yards, 62 touchdowns, but 31 picks. Then you take another guy who had 6,500 yards. He went 20 and 10 his first 2 years.
Okay.
46 touchdowns, 26 picks. Sounds like a lot. And then you have a guy who has gone 18-5 with 6,200 yards and 45 touchdowns and 16 picks. All pretty similar. It's Tom Brady, it's Kurt Warner, and it's Brock Purdy.
Except for one of them's turning the ball over a lot less.
Right.
Brock Purdy.
And the other two have rings in their first two full years as a starter.
They also have yellow jackets.
Right. And they have, well, Brady Tom has a yellow jacket, obviously, and Kurt Warner went on to have a yellow jacket career, but early in their careers, Brady had 26 picks his first 2 years, but he had a ring. And Kurt Warner had 31 picks his first 2 years, but he also had a ring. And Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, doesn't have a ring, but he turns it over a lot less, and he doesn't have quite the same yardage totals, but his TD interception ratios are exactly the same as those two other guys who have gold jackets.
What were Tom's yards?
His first 2 years, he had 6,600 yards.
And Brock has?
Brock has, through 23 games, he's got 6,200.
62.
And Tom did that in 30 games.
And Brock has?
23 games.
Okay, so actually, I would argue his yardage is more.
Correct.
It's tracking for much, much more.
Right.
And people do forget the way Tom Brady, early in his career, they forget that offense. Tom Brady was not slinging it around.
No, and he had 12 picks his first year when they won the Super Bowl, yep. And he had 14 the next year. Brock Purdy had...
He had 11 last year.
Right. He has 16 picks in 23 starts.
Okay.
So... His rates are lower interception-wise than both those guys. And I know that Kurt Warner threw it a lot more, greatest show on turf.
Sure.
They also had Marshall Faulk, which was, you know, kind of helpful.
Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce,
yep.
Torrey Holt. Was Oz Hakeem?
Yep, I believe so.
Jeez.
If you want to compare they what Kurt so had, it actually compares very well to what Brock has normally, which is what makes this Sunday, for me, all the more fascinating, because all of a sudden you don't have Isaac Bruce, Oz Hakeem, nor do you have Marshall Faulk.
I can't remember that ever even happening, by the way. I don't remember Kurt Warner having to go play a game with, like, you know, whoever, who was wide receiver 5. I don't even know who that was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just fascinating, man. Look, we're beyond used to it. We're beyond used to it. I just, what I focus on is not someone's opinion, because that is granted. You're allowed to have a perspective and opinion. If you think Brock is lesser than, if you think he's not that good, product of the system, product of teammates, whatever, it's totally fine. What I point to are the little things that I hear that are just provably false, right? We had the text in earlier, Xfinity Mobile text line. Everything's a screen pass. Oh, my God. Provably false. All right? How about Patrick Peterson? He was on the morning show. I thought this was a great conversation that the guys had. Take a listen to what he said with things that are related to Brock. First of all, just his thoughts on Purdy the QB.
So, like, for me, especially having an opportunity to play against Brock and have an opportunity to game plan against him and watch film, he's almost like, it's just their offense. You know, they are an inside-the-numbers offense, passing game-wise. If you look at majority of Brandon Ayuk routes, he's running skinny slants. He's running, not skinny slants, he's running glance routes, skinny posts. You know, it's very rarely that he's running out routes or Brock Purdy is throwing the ball outside the numbers. So if you're able to pack the middle of the field and force San Francisco 49ers or Brock Purdy to beat you with their left hand, then you can get them in a passing game. But the running game is what sets up the passing game for the San Francisco 49ers, setting up the play action, setting up the boots, setting up the screens. So that's a task in his own, trying to stop the run. And that's what makes them so lethal, because their running game is so efficient. It just makes everything come together.
It's just funny. It's funny to hear that. For those of you who don't know, Patrick Peterson was with the Steelers last year and literally said before the game that he was going to get a pick. He almost did. I'll give him that. Oddly, in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
But he also got beat for 2 touchdowns. Brock Purdy was 19 of 29 for 220 with 2 touchdowns and no interceptions in that football game. The running game was very good. McCaffrey had 22 carries for 152, but 65 of them was 1 carry. I'm just listening to him talk, and you're like, I don't know why defenders do this. Well, the only routes they're running are this. And it's rare that he throws over there. If you know exactly what they're doing, how come you can't stop it?
Exactly.
Why? Why does it sound this way repeatedly? You got a line of people to be like, well, all they're doing is, beating you. All they're doing is beating you.
Yeah, you know what they're running, and you can't stop it. That becomes fascinating. And, well, you know, everything's set up by the run. Well, now they have a different running back. They have an undrafted guy who's number 2 in football in rushing yards. And, yeah, all they do is run the ball yet so far through 2 weeks, including a very good Jets defense that was able to stop Ramondre Stevenson quite handily. You couldn't stop Jordan Mason. So what is it?
What do you expect to see from Brock Purdy this weekend? No Kittle, no Debo, no Christian. And what if the Niners lose? Fill that blank in. Then what? We'll take your calls throughout the afternoon all the way up to 6 o'clock. That's what we do. 888-957-9570. We would love to talk to you on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
You know what data I would love? Like, is everyone getting hurt or does it just feel like that? Like, this was a hell of a week. This is what, quote, no injuries feels like.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan, after the game, no injuries.
Well,
next thing you know, Debo, Kittle, Bosa, Ward. What? I mean, I just saw this breaking news. He had 8 sacks last year for the Raiders. Malcolm Kuntz, he has suffered a major knee injury in practice and is out for the year.
In practice? Wow.
Think so. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, during a recent practice.
Jeez. I don't know if it's like, more than ever before, or is it just a case, and Steiny made this point earlier, and I kind of agree with him, the 17-game season makes it so you can be a little bit more cautious with injuries that are not as, quote-unquote, severe. I don't know George Kittle's particular hamstring severity as it pertains to a true must-win.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like with a 17-game schedule, the amount of urgency is lessened insofar as guys like trying to play through it.
I don't know, because the injuries feel like the real deal. You know what I mean? Like Kenneth Walker in Seattle is dealing with a real deal. Evan Engram, something happened in warmups last week. And by the way, he's doubtful for this week. We could go on and on.
I do think that there's two different levels of injury. There is an injury that is like truly debilitating / season ending, like when you break your fibula,
sure,
you broke an ankle, broken this, torn that. Those are like really okay. That's an injury that you're going to be out for X amount of weeks and or months, or maybe your season's over. And I get that. And then there are other injuries that appear to be less severe, and it feels to me like teams are being more cautious with those injuries, knowing that every game is not as important as it used to be.
We're going to go back to the phones in a sec, but we wanted to play this for you. Trent Williams, kind of talking about the next man up mentality.
Next man up. It sucks. Guys are the best in the world, but who really feels sorry for us? So it's next man up league. A couple guys that we want to see get more action anyway. Hate it had to come on the heels of somebody being injured, but when opportunities present themselves, and nobody would have known Jordan if a couple guys didn't go down, and nobody would have known Brock if we didn't lose 3 quarterbacks in 1 year. It's a blessing in disguise, and guys just got to be ready to step up.
That's an interesting way to put it, right? Like, think about all of the 49ers, one way or another, who have sort of, like, come from injury. He mentions Brock Purdy. He mentions Jordan Mason in a completely different form. The 49ers have Nick Bosa on the team because of an injury. I don't want this season to go that way. That's not what I'm saying at all. But, like, yeah, I would imagine in a locker room, that's the way it's handled. They don't handle it like we do, where we're just like, oh hell. Like, I'll tell you what, he mentions there's some people that we wanted to get more time to anyway. I wonder who is he talking about there. Is he talking about Eric Saubert?
Could be.
Because who else is filling in? Is he talking about Jacob Cowing? I would love to see what he can do on the football field this weekend.
Of course, and you might get your wish granted because you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of your other wide receivers available. Deebo Samuel played 60 snaps, 60 of the 70 snaps that you had available in last week's game, and we know that he's not going to be out. Jordan Mason has now become a household name, not only here locally, but across the country because of Christian McCaffrey. So he's going to get more snaps. And you look at, you know, what we'd have with Ricky Pearsall, had he not gotten shot, he would be getting a ton of snaps, and he'd be probably one of the most added players in fantasy football.
By the way, he might be back before Deebo.
Good point.
As crazy as it sounds, we may get some Ricky Pearsall out of this. He absolutely might be back before Deebo. You know, Deebo was going to be at least a couple weeks, so it's not just this week and next week for Deebo necessarily.
Right.
Now, will Pearsall be ready week five? I don't know. But, like, that's a fun one, too. 888-957-9570. Who's not been getting time? Who you want to see? Who would you like to see more of that may get an opportunity out of this? For me, that answer is Jacob Cowing.
Yep.
Because the 49ers do have a hard time with downfield wide receiver speed, you know, at the highest of levels, I think that he's someone who can bring that dynamic to the football field.
We'll see if he gets the opportunity. Last week against Minnesota, he played a grand total of, checks notes, zero snaps.
Zero snaps.
He played three snaps on special teams.
And dropped the ball one time.
Exactly. So is he a guy that Kyle Shanahan's going to feel really good about giving a lion's share of opportunity to after what we've seen? And so far he's played zero snaps on offense and he's played seven snaps on special teams in two games.
Right.
So you're going to go from no snaps to what, suddenly now you're going to get 40 snaps?
No. I don't think anything like that. But if he's in there for 12, like, take a couple shots. Give it a shot. Let's see where we're at. You know what I mean?
Like, feels to me like he's going to be further down. Like Ronnie Bell, for me, would get that opportunity before Jacob Cowing.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where the trust level is.
Right.
But the trust level must be somewhere. They're sticking him out there to catch punts. That's trust.
They had. I don't know if they will again.
I don't know.
And Kyle Shanahan, it seems to me, has a very low tolerance for that, which is go catch the ball and you don't catch the ball.
What coach doesn't?
Well,
no coach has patience for dropping the punt.
I think that Shanahan and Steve Kerr sit down in a shadowy cafe somewhere and they talk about how much they hate young people. And I'm obviously kidding, but if you look at the young people and their snaps, Isaac Garendo got one carry and it didn't go well. I don't love the young people. End of snaps for Isaac Garendo.
You know what John Lynch said today now? I mean, it's just John Lynch talking. They really, really like Garendo.
Yeah.
There were like a couple reelies in there.
Okay.
I really like him. That'd be my second answer.
Garendo.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Okay.
Let's take a look.
Sure.
They think he can pop a couple. So let's see it.
I look at wide receivers and think that you're going to see a lot more Chris Conley. Obviously, he played nine snaps last game. Juwan Jennings is going to go up into the Deebo role, but he'll get the Deebo amount of snaps, I would imagine. It's going to be Ayuk and Deebo. It's going to be Ayuk and Juwan.
I hope Juwan doesn't get the Deebo snaps, because remember against Detroit when
they came out,
they're like, all right, jet sweep Juwan. Okay, second and 12. Let's do this next. So, yes.
And that was a classic Kyle Shanahan. Like, I didn't know that he was back there and stuff, or I probably wouldn't have called it and stuff, and I kind of regret that.
He thought Deebo was on the field. Deebo wasn't on the field.
Right.
Lots of people going on out there.
He ran a little running play for a wide receiver that wasn't Deebo, and they lost, I think, 6 yards in the play or something.
It didn't go well.
I would imagine your receivers, it's going to be Conley and Juwan and Brandon Ayuk, but it's mainly going to be Ayuk and Juwan Jennings.
Sure.
Jordan Mason's going to get all the carries, and probably Jake Tonjes is going to be the second tight end with Saubert. But I do think, for those of you interested in props, keep your eyes on Kyle Juszczyk in the pass game. I think that Juszczyk is going to have a bigger role than normal.
That'd be great. There's a lot of trust there. By the way, speaking of Jacob Cowing's muffed punt, Kyle Shanahan a couple days ago.
It's one muff punt. I mean, just when it comes to catching stuff, he's been as natural of a catcher as we've had in our 8 years here. Just in practice, how he's been in the games. I know that one got away from him, which we can't have those, but everyone muffs one here and there, and you just hope that was the end of it.
Everyone muffs one here and there. All good.
Some guys muff two here and there. Well, I mean,
then you're out.
Okay.
Then you're out. But not yet. Not one.
And he knows he can't do that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he said about Steve Wilks.
Exactly.
He knows he can't do that.
Jacob knows he messed up.
He does.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Well, maybe not. Let's go to Rob in Concord. Hi, Rob. You're on with Willie and Dibby.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Friday. So, really quickly, I think Brock Purdy's a great quarterback in the sense that he's doing everything he can. And I always look back and tell a couple of friends, a couple of Niner fans, that while maybe there are struggles, you could put any quarterback back there. If they're not getting the protection, especially on the left side, I don't care if it's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Kurt Warner, the list goes on of fantastic or great. It doesn't matter. I mean, they're going to get hit. They're going to be under pressure. But I'm happy with Brock Purdy. That being said, I'm still not sure about Kyle Shanahan. Maybe it comes down to, you know, how when he came into this league as a 49ers coach or from being an OC on other teams, that he's been named this genius. And as he is, I just don't know if while he's a genius playbook offensively, the struggles that he has when he's under duress.
Rob, you're my favorite caller of the week because you have represented a couple of things that I have the hardest time understanding, and I'm not trying to call you out, but I do want to, can we talk a little bit? Can we have a chat, Rob?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do two things. First of all, why does everybody talk about this genius word as if Kyle has it tattooed on his forehead? Kyle has never called himself a genius. Kyle has never called himself a genius. And I feel like people are so triggered by the word. And I don't even really hear it all that much. If I do hear it, it's coming from other people in the NFL. Richard Sherman has said it, for example. And so I'm like, if people who've played for the guy or people who have tried to defend the guy think that his system is genius and very, very difficult, yet Kyle has never like asked to be called that. Why does that get everyone so much, Rob?
That's the thing is, I don't know. That's not one thing that I try to call him. Again, it's something that where he's received that title. I think if we heard less of that, I think many people would probably not put the pressure to watch the games and hope that every time that Kyle is on the field with the 49ers, that the expectation is 50-plus points, right? And if the 49ers aren't scoring and are not getting ahead of the team that they're playing by 14 points, then it's a, well, what's Kyle going to do now? He's under duress. What's the game plan? Is it now just pass, get away from the running game? So, to me, that is a concern, but it's not the sense that I'm trying to call the man a genius.
Yeah.
In all fairness, he's gotten the team to 4 NFC championships, mind, of course, one where Brock Purdy was injured. But, you know, getting the team to the Super Bowl and coming up short, okay. But we've seen other teams where, hey, look, they'll never get that opportunity, so hopefully the Niners get another opportunity this season. Mindful that the team can stay healthy, and if they can, maybe they'll get healthy at the end of the season when it matters the most, and you know, if they can stay healthy through the end of the season and into the postseason, then, you know, I think it's fair to say that most teams in that situation normally have the most success.
Yeah, Rob, thank you very much. I mean, the other thing I was going to kind of bring up is at a certain point early in his call, he goes, I'm still not sure about shit.
Yeah, Shanahan.
I'm still not sure about Shanahan.
Right.
And I can't even say it without laughing. He said he's sold on Brock Purdy, but not on Shanahan.
That's interesting.
And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, look, you don't have to love Kyle Shanahan. That's not what I'm saying. But how could you not be sold on him? Like, look what he's built. Why don't we Why do we always go, that play call? Why don't you look at 6 years, remember where the Niners were for a long time before he got here?
The crapper is the answer.
I don't understand. How can you not be sold on Kyle Shanahan? You cannot have a smart conversation and be like, the guy's a crappy coach. Like, that's just, that's crazy.
Agreed.
It's absolutely crazy.
We talked yesterday about where you wanted to rank, and I think that it was Kay Adams who had the soundbite from the Up and Adams podcast talking about, outside of Andy Reid, who would you look at as the best coach? It was DeShaun Jackson who answered, and he answered Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
And I do think if you want to look at the top five coaches in the NFL, Sean McVay, you could argue, is in there. Andy, it's tough to say that he's not number one.
Yep.
And then we talked about John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, Kyle Shanahan. For me, there's your group of five. And however you want to order them, it's up to you, and it's all up to personal preference. But I do think that you can't have a conversation about top five coaches in the NFL without including Kyle Shanahan. Is he perfect? Of course not. Is he sometimes too much of an offensive coordinator and not enough of a game manager? That's a criticism that you can maybe levy, and you can look at that and think maybe that's a fair way to look at it. But I don't know if you can look at what he's done, and I agree with you, from where they were to where they are year in and year out. For me, it's hard to say. I'm still not sure about Kyle Shanahan.
I look around the league, and I don't even know. The five you brought up, from Tomlin, Harbaugh, McVay, Shanahan, and Reid, I think those would be the most popular five answers. I don't even know sort of how you would deviate from that too far. Other names that I guess you could bring up, D'Amico Ryans has had a wonderful start.
Great start.
To his Houston career.
Yep.
So he's rising fast. The other Harbaugh just got back into the league. That's off to a good start, but I mean, it's been two games.
What he did the first time counts, I think.
For sure.
If you're looking at,
then that's fair.
And even Sean Payton, at what he did the first time.
Although things are getting questionable fast over there.
Which is why I would not put him in my top five, even though his New Orleans stint, I think, would put him in the conversation. I do think that what he's doing in Denver is a little bit wonky.
Last year, people would have said, hey, here comes Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
Although that's hit the skids a little bit. And then, look, if I just want to drink and have a good time, Dan Campbell is the best coach in the league.
Absolutely.
His Applebee's commercials are hilarious. 4th and 27, he goes for it. I'm in on Dan Campbell.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
Like that's kind of the one-night stand of coaches. Like,
totally.
If I'm just here to party and have a good time, ha! Dan Campbell, that's my guy.
If I'm sitting outside in the winter and I need a seat warmer, I'm sitting next to Mike McCarthy, because he's been on the hot seat for about 3 years.
Well, whoever's on the Cowboys is always on the hot seat.
But he's been on that seat now
for
years, and I do think that LeFleur
is good too. Yes. LeFleur, very, very good coach.
And
so's O'Connell.
What I was going to say,
he's a good coach.
And McDermott in Buffalo, I do think gets a little bit...
Meh.
Well, I think that he gets a little bit of a bad rap. He's better than mid. They've been very successful.
Yeah.
And this year, though, much like Brock Purdy this weekend, this year for Mike McDermott becomes a litmus test where you don't have an offense with all these weapons. You got to go out there and still be a really good team in a tough division. So much like Brock this weekend without weapons, I do think that McDermott this whole season becomes a little bit of a test for him to see what you can do now without all those weapons.
Now, I want to circle back for a second to this genius conversation.
Sure.
My God, it comes up every day. And do you know what it sounds like to me? I want to compare it to something real quick. Kyle is a supposed genius. To me, sounds exactly like this. Farhan told us we were getting Shohei. It's the same comment. I don't know where this came from. Why does everybody... I don't think... Like, the word genius, for me, it's like something's wrong with my Apple computer, so I'm going to go to the genius bar. Or, I don't know, Einstein? But like, he's a very good football coach. Provable. Very, very good football coach. And you will hear people say, and I mean now people who've played defense in the NFL, his offensive scheme, his movement, pre-snap motion, I guess some people will use that word, It's genius. It's hard. It's whatever. It's very complex. But I feel like a lot of people come after this word as if Kyle has it as his license plate. He didn't do that. And I don't even know that many people who are. So why have we gone down this road of like, oh, Mr. Genius can't convert on third down? Why has that got people's brains in that direction? Nobody said that.
But it's because of the perceived arrogance is what it is. And it's perceived arrogance and it's perceived genius because he's got the laminated play sheet and he's a son of a coach and they are very innovative in what they do. And he's been able to do a lot with an undrafted running back now and a Mr. Irrelevant quarterback and all these other things. He's overachieved in perception and he does it with a certain amount of humility that comes across to some people as him being smug and arrogant. And oh, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And well, I honestly want my head coach, my play caller, to think that he's the smartest guy in the room.
I don't know that he does.
That's a perception. It's all perception.
It's another label where it's like, I mean, is he very, very believing in what he's doing? Yes.
They all should be.
Yeah, I would refer to that as confidence. Is Dan Campbell the smartest guy in the room when he goes for it on 4th and 3 when he should kick a field goal? Or is he just like, well, look at him. He's got a beard and he yells and he's fun.
Got so, big stones.
Yes. Yeah, so no, right. There you go. There you go.
Look at the big rocks on Campbell.
So if you look like a blue-collar dude, you got stones. But if you're kind of, if you look like, I mean, like his, his dad was nicknamed the Rat. Like, if that's your look, well, now you're the smartest guy in the room. Or if you're Farhan, and I, like, to me, I mean, even the race card comes into it with Farhan, where he's just automatically, he's a laptop nerd. It's like, that's not who these people are. It's not. I mean,
well, none of them. Can you tell me that Dan Campbell is not smart because he's a big, brawny guy who makes reckless calls on fourth down? So now he's just a big, like, dunderhead, lunk-headed guy because he's so big?
I don't think you can be a head coach in the NFL if you're not smart. I don't think you can be that successful in life if you're not smart.
And I don't think you can be a head coach in the NFL if you're not a leader of men. So Kyle Shanahan's this genius with this laminated play sheet, and the perception then becomes, well, he's just a brainiac who can't really like control a locker room, and he's not a real leader because he's just this offensive wizard, and he's a genius. But none of that's actually true. And Dan Campbell is smarter than you think, and Kyle Shanahan is more of an alpha male than you think.
Yep.
And so it just comes down to perception.
Well, I also think, look, if you've been a 49er fan for a little while, here's one thing. Forget my opinion or yours. The opinion of those who work in the building. You want to know who's more arrogant than Kyle Shanahan? Jim Harbaugh. That's who's more arrogant than Kyle Shanahan. That's who's a bigger you-know-what to the people around him. That's who wears people out more. When we had gotten this far into Jim Harbaugh's regime, everybody
was gone.
Correct. He was gone, and everyone was mad at everyone. So now, here we're 6 years in, right? Is this year 7?
Year 7, I think.
We are 6.5 years into Kyle Shanahan, and I don't see things coming apart at the seams in terms of emotion, in terms of relationships, in terms of the standings. I don't see that.
No.
So this arrogant jerk, like, does he have a little bit of a swagger in him? Does he have a little bit of, like, he's just going to say it and put it on the table? Sure. He's direct. Does that mean some people might think he's a jerk? I'm sure some people do. But it sounds like very few compared to people who think the opposite who have played for him.
Exactly. And you've never really seen a locker room break apart. And you look at the trajectory of Kyle Shanahan's coaching tenure, and it's gone only up, other than the year where his quarterback got hurt in week 2 or week 3. That was a down year. But other than that, his teams have been competitive. The roster has been full. And players have shown a desire to want to come here. So whatever fans think and whatever the perception is, That perception is outside the building, and it's usually wrong.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Okay, we're taking your calls as we head into our final hour of the week. 888-957-9570. What do you think we're going to see from Brock Purdy this weekend? And fill in the blank. If the Niners lose this weekend, then blank. What now? And oh, by the way, we'll fade the Dibbers action coming up around the corner also. Good pick last night.
Appreciate it.
On Will and Dips.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Played this game, I've coached this game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, it's your pick. When do you want to do Fade the Dibbers?
We can do it whenever you're ready, because I would like to, well, if I can, Grant, if you cut the music, please, this is a serious moment. I want to apologize to all of the Dibber faithful out there, because what happened yesterday, that's not me. I'm better than that. I've played this game. I've coached this game.
You haven't.
You're right. I've neither played this game nor coached this game. I've played many games and
coached. I've played this game. I've coached this game.
I love that, man. I wish he would call back, because that was one of my favorite calls of all time, because he was coming down my road because I was ridiculing him and his call. But I do want to apologize for what took place last night, because the pick I gave out was exactly why we're doing this bit, Fade the Dibbers, because that pick was ferocious. And I'm going to borrow from Lo Neal.
It
was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
It was never in doubt from the opening snap or two. And the Patriots defense, I thought, they looked pretty good.
They're fine.
By and large, but when you look at that offense, my God, the Patriots offense, it stinks.
Did you guys all stay around long enough to see Drake May? Did you wait till the end? I was out. Yeah, you're smart if you left. It was a colossal snore.
It was bath time at that juncture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Rubber Ducky, you're my
exactly
pal.
Exactly all of that.
If you got to the end, raise your hand if you made it to the end last night and saw. Granted, did you see Drake May?
I had it on. I wasn't actively
exactly
watching.
Oh, my God.
Well, the O-line is terrible.
But this kid.
Oh, man.
This kid, and listen, this is absolutely no assessment of his play. That's not what I'm doing. It's garbage time on a Thursday night, and it's his first NFL game, and they're teeing off on him. But his awareness of what was going on around him is going to need some work.
Yeah.
Because this dude would drop back, and if read number one wasn't there, he would just be like, I'm going to run, Mom. I can make it. And somebody in a green jersey would tattoo this. It happened like three times in five plays. It's like, buddy, you're going to need to get the ball out of your hand. The very first throw he did, first snap of his career, almost a pick six.
Oh, man.
Almost a pick six. Third snap of his career, he's like, I'm going to step up in the pow! Absolutely tattooed to the ground. I'm surprised his number isn't still on the grass. And I was like, oh my gosh, somebody just run the clock out here. Like, who's calling plays over there? Hand the ball off.
Yeah.
The game's over. What pick in the draft was he? Was he third?
Third, man.
The third pick in the draft. You're going to get him killed.
4 for 8, 22 yards, 2 sacks.
It was so bad. Oh, God. Yeah, so, anyway, you're right. That was a bad pick.
No, and I want to apologize.
It's one thing to lose. Like, we all lose. Everybody loses. That was just
when
a bad
pick. When the three
pick.
Of you immediately pounced on it, and my good friend Baltimore Joe texted me, like, don't do that.
Don't do that.
So, I'm 4-3 on the year.
You know what, though? Who's stupid? You gave out a bad pick, and I don't think the three of us bet our life savings on it. We were so sure.
You should have.
I know, and we didn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got nothing to apologize for, dude. Like, great pick.
It's
you're
called
welcome.
Fade the Dibbers.
And actually,
so
Grady texted me. I think you texted me thank you or good pick or something to that extent.
We're much more angry when you get something right.
Well, coming up in 7 minutes, I'm going to get one right.
Well, we'll see.
I like my chances. And it's been a little bit of a vacillation sensation.
Uh-oh.
I've been going back and forth.
Yeah, you said the pick just changed.
And it's changed again.
Again?
Then. Yeah.
Since it changed and changed again?
Which is only telling Grandy to fade me.
We're so bad.
I get it.
He's making stuff up literally as it goes along.
I'm 4-3.
Is it going to change again like during the Open?
Oh, no, it's locked. It's locked.
Do you want to do it right now?
I can't do anything until the theme song plays. So whenever y'all decide that you're ready for it, I'm here for it. Doug, I'm here till 6.
Doug, just stand by, Doug, because we see you and we're coming to you. But let's go. Fade to Dibbers before he changes his mind again.
It's time for
Fade to Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
That part of it doesn't bug me.
It hits so hard after you take the loss.
It does. I mean, I took the Patriots and 20.5 is what I got of that. Whatever, it didn't matter. That thing stunk.
Your pick stinks.
They do stink.
It did last night. That stunk.
It stunk.
All right, let's do it. What's coming up this weekend?
Well, the Niners are favored by 6.5 against the Rams, and they don't have Kittle, they don't have Debo, they don't have CMC. So I was thinking, you know what? This feels like a classic underplay.
Oh.
The more I've thought about it, 43.5, that's the kind of number that's a little bit precarious because even though the Niners don't have those guys and the Rams don't have 3 offensive linemen or 2 weapons, this one could still be a lopsided game in the Niners' favor, so I'm going to do it. This is where I started. I'm taking the Niners, and I'm laying the 6.5. There you have it.
Oh, no.
I know. It's hard for you guys because
you did this last week, and they lost outright.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Grandy, you're not taking the Rams in the points.
Yeah, why are you pumping your fist?
Guru is on Dibs' side, so we got both people working for us.
You gotta tell me that going in.
I don't even want to watch the game now.
It's over.
I don't even want to watch.
Never mind. Take the under.
Hang on. I gotta text Christy. We're changing our plans on Sunday. I'm going golfing. I don't even want to watch the game.
Take the Niners. Lay the points.
God, will you stop?
Me and Guru, huh?
You know what? We might have a problem with this bit. If you keep taking the Niners every weekend and they miss the playoffs, this whole city's going to be coming at you.
I get it.
Hey, Niners could win by 3 and we could all be fine.
I don't know that I'm happy with it. No. What does that mean?
That means the Niners win 13-10 and I should have bet the under.
And that means that the offense stunk.
That means your guy stunk.
Exactly.
It's going to be a long week for you. Brock Purdy.
Or their defense stunk. If they give up 23, they win 26.
Exactly. That's why I don't want them to win by 3, because it means one side of the ball wasn't very good.
Brock Purdy.
I nailed last night's score prediction.
What?
Why?
Half of it.
Yeah, I think I had the Jets scoring 23 points, so that was pretty damn close.
Scored
24.
Yeah.
But I was close on my Jets portion.
Did you say 23-17?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
This one, to me, feels like, I mean, the Niners should win this game by 10. And even without all those guys, the Niners should be able to win this game 24-14. So I probably should take the under, but it's too late. I'm locked in. Me and Goo, my brother. Niners minus 6.5.
Oh, no.
With a loss, I'm 4-4. With a win, I'm hot again.
I just like call a therapist. Like the anxiety. The anxiety level just flew through my chest.
Slap me for what I'm doing.
Oh, my God.
So I hit my Prize Picks last night now.
That's where you were, and then what you
this
were,
morning,
you were going to take the under.
This morning I was thinking, you know what, this feels like an under. The Niners D against a depleted Ram O-line and no weapons.
Good Lord.
And it feels like there's going to be a lot of punts in this game. I was thinking, you know what? This kind of feels like an under. 43.5 is not a big number, but it feels like a lower scoring game. But then I thought about it again. And I thought, you know what? The Niners in a bounce back spot.
Oh,
Kyle Juszczyk in the flat. Brandon Ayuk in a get right game. give me the Niners, and I'm laying the 6.5. Cuckoo. I said cuckoo.
Oh, gosh.
Lock that S up, Grandy. Thank you.
You already did.
I know. We're into the silly hour.
Can't lock it again.
Giggles Willard here for the final hour of the week.
You can't lock it again unless you're one of those weirdos that has 17 locks on your door. Because you're all freaked.
That depends where you live now. I used to live in a spot where two locks was not enough.
You could not get me to put money on this game. On anyone.
Well, I'm not putting money on it. I just put my reputation on the line.
Wow, that's even worse. This is a stay away.
Have you forgotten the name of that segment?
Yeah. Fade the Dibbers. Yeah,
I'm not betting on the Rams, Lucas.
All right. Guess you don't like free money.
Yeah, and guess you're not like bought in on the segment either.
No, you guys have watched me. I have been very selective with Fade the Dibbers, and actually, I would argue I've been nails on those picks. When you picked the Bills, I went with you. The Niners,
had I not taken the Niners here and you had to make a pick, where would you go on this one? If you had,
I don't know! Yeah, I would. I guess I would. Niners. The Rams are terrible.
Right.
The Rams are terrible, but when...
I'm feeling better now about myself.
When both teams are missing in upwards of three or four key players, that's a stay away. That's like betting on college football week one. We haven't seen them play in the preseason. You don't know what the hell's about to happen. What'd your Ducks do week one, Grandy? What happened in that game?
Favored by nearly 50 against Idaho and won by 10.
There you go. That's, I'm not betting on college football in August. You're just like, they're minus 50. You don't know what the hell's going to go. I mean, bunch of 19-year-olds who just showed up. I got no idea what the hell's going to happen.
Idaho plus 50 was the lock.
Yeah.
Yeah, where was I on that?
Oh, God.
Anyway, take the Niners, lay the 6.5. Talk to me Monday. I'll be 5-3.
Oh, geez. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.